Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Today is a bit of a teaching day. And what I'm going to do is lay out to you something that is a bit of a sense of stewardship of the life that I'm called to live, right? Each of us is called to be stewards. So I'm going to be sharing with you in relationship to this idea that's becoming a reality, that I'm investing meaningful amounts of time to writing books. Now, what is that all about? And I'm going to connect it to your life. I'm going to connect it to your journey of faith. And I want to connect this to the idea that you have a mission as well. And sometimes it's a matter of us making sacrifices for the sake of that mission. So that's what I'm going to explore today. And I'm actually, frankly, really excited to do it. All right, we'll do that in just a minute. Welcome back to the program. We're going to begin with a scripture reading today. And this is, for me, a very important scripture. It's intimately connected to the overarching theme or goal that I have for all of the books that I have mapped out as books to write. And the scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All of us, gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces, are being transformed from glory to glory into His very image by the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for the gift of life and for the new life you've won for us and the call that we have in faith to live a transformed life. Lord, give us the grace we need to pursue that goal, to pursue you above all things. And we make this prayer, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's really striking these days to see the famous people that that have died, people that I have seen or have had a big impact in the world, whether it's the world of politics, like Dick Cheney dying recently, or Robert Redford dying recently. You know, these people that had an arc of a career where they were like it was this overarching path of their career that was having them achieve heights, right? There's just these amazing heights in their lives. And then come to find out all of a sudden, well, now they're gone. And it had, when I pay more attention to that these days, it's more poignant to me in part because of the stage that I'm in. Carrie and I are moving here and we're now in this more reflective stage and saying, the time that we have that is productive time, the time that we have where we have energy and health and some capacity to focus our attention, what will we do with that time? And I can tell you, I'm not going to be golfing a lot. I'm not going to be traveling the world a lot. I'm not going to be eating out at expensive restaurants a lot. It just to say, that's not my vision for this stage in my life. It is very much focused on, I'm going to be meeting the Lord at some point in the future. And I'm so sensitized to that. And when I look him in the face, I so desire that my life will be a 10 gold coin life. That Jesus's parable in the Gospel of Luke, where the nobleman goes off to get the kingship, gives each of his servants a gold coin. That's one of the translations. It's the one that I like because of its fittingness here. And he said, engage in trade with these. Go do work with them. Be a good steward of the life that you have. And when I return, I'm going to ask for an accounting. And when he comes back, the first one who steps forward, the first one, and you can imagine why he'd be the first one to step forward, was the one who was given the one and said, your one has returned you now 10. There is a 10x, 10 times return on your investment, Lord. What you have entrusted to me, here's a tenfold return. I find that so inspiring that the Lord has placed in front of us through this parable a vision that can shine a light on our lives, and frankly, a bit of a spotlight that can be a bit of a critical light. And at least it's making me ask, what are you doing with your life? Is your life generating a 10x return? How many gold coins has your life generated? And when I measure it in terms of the holiness, like, have I really grown in holiness? I can look at that in terms of like prayer life and stability of virtue in my life, that sort of thing, right? How is grace operating in my life? And then in terms of the mission that I have, like, how am I pouring my life out to be of service to the Lord and the church and make his kingdom known and spread the gospel and use the gifts he's given me for his purposes? So as I've been doing a sort of a rigorous life examination, the area that I have felt this sense of a gap in is with regards to these incredible, beautiful, profound, life-giving truths that have been handed on to me by just the gifts of these incredible holy priests in particular, but others in my lives who poured into me and also have the Lord giving me the gift to be able to study extensively and minister and to work in the church as a layperson extensively, as a Catholic theologian extensively, to be able to say, wait a minute, the Lord has forged into my life, just like he's going to forge in your life. He's going to forge your life into your life. A certain word, a word of God, is going to be forged into your life. The word will be made flesh in your life. And it will manifest itself. It will dwell among us in this world if you allow him. Lord, forge my life into that word for which I was created. And as I have attempted to say, what's the word, Lord, that you were forging into my life? There are different ways that I have identified that in my life. And I'm not going to repeat a lot of that. Gift message of St. John Paul II has been a beautiful and powerful message that I feel like, in a certain sense, I was created for. And it's not just him. It's also definitely influenced by the writings of Hans Urs von Balthasar, as well as Cardinal Ratzinger, then Pope Benedict XVI. These authors who were colleagues together beautifully articulated an understanding of who we are before God as this gift, and emphasized this communion of persons, this relational dimension of things, this dimension that involves, if you have a relational identity, then the idea of having an encounter that breaks open your life and transforms your life becomes so crucial. And that's what I realized. Having been involved in ministry since 1989, having experienced a conversion in 83, entered the seminary in 84, spent 1984 through the summer of 89, so 5 school years in the seminary in Boston and in Rome, so deeply formative for my life, and then being engaged in this work of evangelization and again, the gifts that God has given me through these years, I have this own personal arc of my own life of 36 years of doing church work. And what I have a certain level of like realization or insight into what I see happening across the country, and then in a more dense way in the state of Washington, and in a more niche way in the realm of evangelization, Faith formation, family formation, discipleship, community. These were the realities that I have labored in these fields for decades. And looking around, what I realize is all of these efforts, all of this pouring out as a Catholic theologian, as a Catholic in ministry, that the Lord has granted me this entrustment to say, I'm supposed to hand this on. I'm supposed to hand on what I've come to see that maybe I haven't recognized in other people's writings, other people who are writing about prayer or ministry or renewal or faith formation, or how will the church have an impact in the world today. I see a lot of emphasis on a new program, like do this program or that program, or books that are quite popular, but are frankly really limited in their understanding of the life of faith, even though that they're widely acclaimed and wonderfully promoted. But when I take a look at just the raw outcome, what is the outcome of all of this labor of so many for decades that we have poured out our lives into helping the Catholic Church be salt, light, and leaven in America, to help the church stand tall and proclaim the gospel of life in America? And what do we see about the actual reality, the lived experience of Catholics in America, generation to generation, handing on the faith? We see on a report card basis, just a pure statistical report card basis, utter failure. We've utterly failed statistically. So just as a for instance, so today, my wife Carrie and I are going to our kids' high school, and we're going to go meet with four teachers for one of our daughters because she has C's in her classes. She's not failing. She's not doing horribly. In fact, she's been extraordinarily busy with volleyball, and it has diverted her energy and attention away from being more vigorous in her own stewardship as a student. And to be fair, her best gift is not intellectual. So she's not our best student among the current kiddos. But with all that said, we expect more. We are not content. And we, Carrie and I, are clearing out our schedule to go meet with these teachers, to look them in the eyes and to say, okay, where are we falling down? We, mom and dad, where are we falling down? And what do we need to do to up our game to support, encourage, and help our daughter be accountable to do better in this class? We are not satisfied with C's. And we've instituted some punishments for our daughter that she's not going to get access to even the limited phone that she has until she has all B's. So in other words, this means something. We see something showing up and we take action. And the action we take is commensurate to what's at stake with regards to what's going on in this life circumstance. And so, just to say, that's a C, that's a 75. If we had a 75% retention rate among Catholics living their life of faith, and 75% of self-identifying Catholics were going to Mass on Sunday, 75% of Catholics were participating in church and accepted and professed the faith that we believe. They believed that Christ is really present in the Eucharist. They believed in the doctrines of the Creed. They were practicing a moral life in their personal lives, in terms of sexuality and relationships and openness to life. And they were believing and promoting and professing their faith in the dignity of human life and the preciousness and the reality of human life from conception to natural death. Hey, if we had a 75%, we would be doing victory laps. We would literally be doing victory laps, saying, this is a springtime in our life of faith. But that is not what's happening. Here's just a little quick anecdote. When I first got involved at a national level in the work of Catholic evangelization, it was like 1990. And I was, at that point, I started to be invited to speak at these conferences around the country. Back in the early 90s, there were a ton of religious education conferences, evangelization conferences, different than religious education conferences, and women's conferences, men's conferences, youth conferences, young adult conferences. It was amazing what was going on. And the number one challenge I had when I would speak to priests and the parish staff regarding implementing efforts to evangelize, that, hey, we can share with you a variety of ways and means, strategies and ways of going about the work of evangelizing so that your people can, through this program, through this structure, through this initiative, share their faith with others, help them to bring their faith into their environments, their neighborhood, their friends, their workplaces, and anecdotally be available to the Lord to evangelize. The number one objection I got, was, we are exhausted just taking care of the active Catholics who are currently in our parish. Really, the last thing that we feel a need to do is to get more Catholics pouring in the door. We can't keep up with the needs of all of the people who are currently getting married, getting baptized, being confirmed, making First Communion, going to our schools, coming to church, doing adult faith formation, doing youth activity. It was like, you want us to get more Catholics in the door? I don't know what we're going to do. That was honestly, I know that might sound odd, but that was the reality 35 years ago. 35 years ago I would say this probably stayed true through the year 2000. In that decade of the 90s, one of the biggest things that made the reality of evangelization a hard sell were how full the churches were and how active Catholics were. One fundamental problem, and this puts the finger on it, did it lead to authentic, profound transformation? Did those Catholics who are coming to church, were they transformed? Were they finding the depth of their identity in the reality of being a new creation? This is who I am. A child of God. I'm journeying through life. And it's because of the encounter with Jesus. Was the reality of the encounter with Christ the key to their identity? And this is where I want to begin. When I talk about the reality of writing books, the books that I feel called to write are a means of filling that gap regarding the arc of my own life to hand on to you and to others in this moment the distinctive insights that I have from walking the path that I've walked, doing the work that I've done, studying what I've studied, and seeing what I've seen, and being able to say, folks, I think we're missing something. I think we're missing something really, really big here. because of all of the input we're doing, all of the initiatives, programs, efforts, all of the online stuff that we're doing, all of the programs that we have, all of this stuff, what's it leading to? We're scoring below an F. It's not leading to transformation. And isn't that the goal? Isn't that the goal? The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into his very image by the Lord, who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 to 18. That's what I want to write about. That's what I'm going to write about. That despite all of the input, all of the energy and money and programs and stuff that we've done as a church, it hasn't led to a transformative encounter with Jesus Christ in a way that is moving the dial, that we are salt, light, and leaven in this world. So I don't want to rely on my thinking. I'm going to give you today a basis for all of this from Cardinal Ratzinger / Pope Benedict the 16th. I'm just going to share with you a series of quotes from him. So it goes all the way back to his time working at the Vatican as the prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. Now it's called the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. And then obviously from there, he becomes Pope. But I want to trace through a theme that I hope will make clearer in the words of a great theologian and Pope. So you're not just thinking this is my idea, but to really listen deeply and carefully to what he has to say to us about what really, in fact, is the issue of our time as Catholics who are living, frankly, a comfortably dissipated life. That's a phrase you've heard me say now quite a bit, the comfortable dissipation of a life of faith. And I'm going to go through the back door and instead begin by building out from a very famous quote of Pope Benedict the 16th in his very first encyclical, God is Love. It's one that, I'll just pause. I'm up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to dive into this quote and then build in other quotes that have come from him to make clearer and hopefully more impactful what's at stake for our lives today. Okay? All right, we'll take a break. Be back in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. So what's really interesting is the way in which a quote that is sort of buried in a document like a papal encyclical or some other essay or book can all of a sudden just come to the surface and it spreads from there. And that happened in the papacy of Pope Benedict the 16th. He had so many incredible things that he wrote, books that he wrote prior to becoming Pope, even books that he wrote as Pope, not to mention so many, again, encyclicals and other Wednesday audiences and things like that. However, with all of that said, there was a quote close to the beginning of his first encyclical called Deus Caritas Est, God is Love, that when I first read it, it jumped off the page at me. And I can remember saying, Carrie, look at this. It's this little gem that is hidden in this paragraph. When I read it and began to reflect on it, I was saying, wow, yes, that right there, that statement is profound. And it is, wow. In fact, it was such an important quote that it became the quote at the front of my book, my first book on the Mass Four Encounters with Jesus that will transform your life, that will change your life. And this quote synthesized it down so well. And for me, it becomes the entry point to understanding, let's call it the anemic response of the Catholics today in living out our life of faith. I think that this quote is a foundational, provides a foundation for understanding why we fall short. Okay, here's the quote. You have heard me say it before, if you've listened to the program for, well, the quote is about 18 years old now, and I think I've referenced it for 18 years, but it's that important to me, and I think it's that fundamental to diagnosing our issue. Okay, so here's the quote. And when you first hear it, you're going to say, well, really? Wait a minute, that doesn't seem so striking, but we're going to have to tease it out and break it open. So Pope Benedict says this, being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, Jesus Christ, which gives life a new horizon and decisive direction. I'll say it one more time. Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, Jesus Christ, which gives life a new horizon and decisive direction. Okay, so that can seem rather abstract. It carries like terms that are very meaningful, but maybe not obvious in terms of the implications of them. So let's dig it out. Let's kind of tease this open. And then I've got a bunch of other quotes to like help amplify this point. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Just stop and think about that. Am I a Christian? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I someone who identifies that what my, if you will, Philippians 1:21, for me, life means Christ. Is that what it means to be a Christian? Being Christian, well, it's not the result of an ethical choice. And you stop and say, wait a minute, one of the biggest things that differentiates Catholics, even from other Christians, not just to mention other people in the world today, are our moral standards, our moral vision for what it means to live well as a human being, the moral law that is rooted in every human heart and is in the atmosphere of an authentic culture, of moral values that manifest themselves in the choices we make. So the ethos, the ethical reality, the reality of right and wrong would seem to me to be like a really core part of being Christian. In fact, you stop and say, what is one of the traditional attacks that someone would typically make against a follower of Christ? Is that thing that you just did, that's not very Christian. Your way of speaking right now, your way of acting right now, what you are either doing or avoiding doing right now, that's not very Christian. And so there's a way in which ethical choices are really fundamental to being Christian. And yet, as true as we can make that, as true as we want to say that that is, that the church is at the essence of being Catholic involves embracing a moral code and striving to live that out through ethical choices, that's not at the deepest center what it means to be Christian. That's not the result of an ethical choice. Okay, so it's not that, oh, I believe that these things are the right things to do and these are the wrong things to do. And so I'm embracing that moral code and this ethical system and call me Christian. Not good enough. That won't get you there. That won't get you to the starting line of being Christian. All right, so being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea. A lofty idea. Okay, a profound idea, deep ideas. Is the Catholic faith full of lofty ideas? Well, yeah, the most profound ideas. In fact, the truth about the world, the truth about God, the truth about the meaning of the world and of life in this world. In fact, all of these truths that I've just identified aren't just our position over against other religions and philosophical systems that have their presentation of what is a correct way of living and seeing and interpreting what's going on in this world. No, our lofty ideas are in fact so fundamental to our whole way of looking at things that we say that they've been revealed by God. What the church teaches isn't just a system of lofty ideas that human beings came up with, or that Jesus, this great human teacher, identified as the correct way of seeing and living. No, this is the truth about God as God reveals it. It's God who has revealed to us the truth, the ultimate truth, the mysterious truth, the incomprehensible but still understandable truth of who God is and who we are and what life is all about. And yet, you can embrace all of these lofty ideas, meaning, oh yeah, I accept what the church teaches as true. I embrace and profess the teachings of the church, these lofty ideas. And you know what? You haven't gotten to the starting line. This is not sufficient. So let's tie together these two points. Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea. Okay, so now you have an individual Catholic who holds the lofty ideas of our faith as correct and says, that's what I believe, who embraces the moral code and the moral teaching of the church as the ethical system that is going to describe his ideal way of living and what he's striving to live. And that person, so says Pope Benedict, has not yet arrived at the essence of what it means to be a Christian. Wow. Holy cow. That's quite a statement. And it's a, wait a minute. And we can even add in, oh, and this person who is embracing these ethical choices and living in accord with and professing these lofty ideas is actually also going to church and practicing the ritual requirements of the faith, going to Mass on Sunday, and performing them with in accord with the laws of the church, and still can be missing everything. Here's another way of saying it. This is another quote of his. If no contact with the living God of all men takes place in the sacraments, then they are empty rituals which tell us nothing nor give us anything. What? Let me say that again. If no contact with the living God of all men takes place in the sacraments, then they are empty rituals which tell us nothing nor give us anything. So now you have this Catholic who is embracing the moral code, professing the teachings of the church, and going to Mass on Sunday. But if that person is missing the encounter, missing this sense of contact with the living God at Mass, in living out their life, Well, in the words of Pope Benedict, going to Mass for them, it's an empty ritual. It's telling you nothing, and it's not giving you anything. So wait a minute. So being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but what is it? It's the encounter with an event. How do you encounter an event? Which, again, these words are really crucial here. Encounter with an event, a person, Jesus Christ. So, wait a minute. Being Christian has to do at its essence, at its core, with an encounter with an event, a person, Jesus Christ, which is so significant, it gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. All right, so that now is going to begin to map out, make clearer what's an encounter. Okay, so here is I'm going to take that word encounter, and I'm going to draw it out to the realm of astrophysics. All right, so astronomy, astrophysics. And honestly, I might have this incorrect, but from my own study, this is, I think, correct. You have an asteroid, you have a comet that is moving through space, it's going in a direction. And let's imagine now it's coming towards the Earth. Now, it's not going to hit the Earth, but it's going to have, in astrophysical terms, an encounter with the Earth. And it has an encounter with the Earth if what happens to it? It doesn't hit the Earth, but if in passing by the Earth, the gravitational pull of the Earth is so great on it that it shifts the entire trajectory of that comet, where that comet was going in a straight through or space in that direction, and all of a sudden it comes under the influence of the planet Earth, and that gravitational pull of it slingshots it off at an angle into another direction. It changes the entire direction of that comet. That comet has had an encounter with the Earth. Okay, so let's ask the question. Have we had an encounter with Jesus Christ? With the living Lord Jesus Christ. And if we've had this encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ, an actual encounter with Jesus, not just the idea of Jesus, not just looked at pictures of Jesus, not just gone into places that worship Jesus, not just saying we have beliefs about Jesus, or we're trying to follow the moral code of Jesus, or we're performing the rituals that go back all the way to Jesus. No, you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. The living, risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And that encounter was so profound, it was so impactful, that nothing was the same. The entire trajectory of my life is now different. In the words of Pope Benedict, that's an event. The encounter with the living Lord Jesus is an event. And an event is a theological category associated with the reality of time. And in the understanding of time, there is chronological time, that just the flow of time from past to future through the present. And that's more of the same. You have the cycles of time, the four seasons, they repeat themselves over and over and over again. That's chronological time, chronos. But then you have Kairos. Kairos is an event. It's a breaking into chronological time. It's a disruption of chronological time. It is a fundamental breaking in, breaking open, a ripping apart the reality of your flow through time. And it's God saying, I'm here. Behold, I am here. I'm breaking in. And you know that the living God is showing up. And that is what an encounter brings about, is that encounter with that meeting with the living God is so great, with Jesus Christ is so great, that it gives life a whole new horizon. What my life is about, what my life means, what I'm focused on, what I'm attentive to, what is meaningful to me, what I value, what I want to spend my energy on, what I'm committed to, what I'm passionate about, becomes Jesus. For me, life means Christ, not career, not position, not possessions, not wealth, not fame, not accomplishments. It's Jesus. For me, life means Christ. That new horizon and a decisive direction. All of a sudden, now I know what my life is about. Now I know what my life means. All right, if you take that beautiful and profound statement, being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, Jesus Christ, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. And you said, oh, take a look at the encounters that Jesus Christ had in the Gospels with these primary actors, with the apostles. Look at Peter. Peter cleaning the nets. He's doing his job. And he has the encounter with Jesus. Jesus goes over, and it's not just that he goes over and says, hey, can I get in your boat and preach? Right? And he does and agrees, even though he's exhausted. But he says, go out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. And now the encounter is going to happen. Now his whole life is getting disrupted. Now everything's going to change because he becomes overwhelmed by the catch of fish. It is clearly a manifestation of God's glory. And it comes at the command of Jesus. And it's so overwhelming to Peter. It's so incredible that Simon says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Like, this is too much. What has been revealed to me, what has been made manifest to me, what has come breaking into my life, you who have broken into my life and manifested this to me, everything has changed. And Jesus said, what? You thought you were a fisherman? I will make you a fisher of men. New horizon, decisive direction. Peter gets to the shore. He abandons his nets and his boats and all of that catch of fish. And he follows Jesus. That's an encounter. St. Paul, you know what? A righteous Pharisee, full of indignation and zeal and persecuting Christians, right? You know the story. He's on his way to Damascus and he gets knocked off his horse and he thought he could see and he becomes blind. And he thought he was in his zeal following the righteous God. And instead, Jesus encounters Paul. Paul encounters Jesus. Saul encounters Jesus. And sure enough, what happens? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord, that you're persecuting? I'm Jesus. And all of a sudden, everything changes for Paul. Saul. And actually, you can see what I'm identifying there. Here are the two, right? Greatest apostles. And both of them, literally, the change is so great that it goes to their very names. Simon becomes Peter. Saul becomes Paul. It's that profound. And if you pay close attention, you can see that so many of the other apostles that are mentioned in terms of conversions, similar types of things. Matthew, he's sitting at his tax collector. Boom, Jesus breaks in right there, the event. Come follow me, right? So it's about the encounter. It's about the living Lord Jesus. Now, you might say, Tom, you can't just build everything off of one quote. Fair enough. Listen to these other quotes. He says this: faith is first and foremost, first and above all, foremost, a personal, intimate encounter with Jesus. It is having an experience of his closeness, his friendship, and his love. It is this way that we learn to know him ever better, to love him, and to follow him more and more. There's another one. Christianity is not an intellectual system, a collection of dogmas, or a moralism. Christianity is an encounter, a love story. It is an event. Here's another one. Intimate friendship with Jesus, on which everything depends. Here's another one. The evangelization of the person and of human communities depends totally on this encounter with Jesus Christ. Here's another one. For each of you, as for the apostles, the encounter with the divine teacher who calls you friends may be the beginning of an extraordinary adventure, that of becoming apostles among your contemporaries, to lead them to live their own experience of friendship with God made man, with God who has made himself my friend. Here's another one. If we let Christ, he said this before in the final mass before going into the conclave where he was elected pope. If we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take something away from us? No. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing. Absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. No, only in this friendship are the doors of life opened wide. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. All right, I'm going to give you one last quote, which kind of summarizes it all back down. And then I'll go back to where I began. This is from before he was Pope. He says, "Today, Christianity is seen as an old tradition, weighed down by old commandments, something we already know, which tells us nothing new. A strong institution, one of the great institutions, that weigh on our shoulders. If we stay with this impression, we do not live the essence of Christianity, which is an ever new encounter, an event, thanks to which we can encounter the God who speaks to us, who approaches us, who befriends us. It is critical to come to this fundamental point of a personal encounter with God, who also today makes himself present and who is contemporary. If one finds this essential center, one also understands all the other things. But if this encounter is not realized, which touches the heart, all the rest remains like a weight, almost like something absurd." These are powerful quotes from Pope Benedict. So I'm not just cherry picking one quote from his first encyclical, but I'm drawing on, and I could give you dozens of others. Read his reflections as papal audiences on the call of the 12 apostles. He covers the 12 apostles and on the early fathers. They're all about the encounter, right? It goes on and on. Encounter, event, this breaking in, this breaking open. It's the encounter with the living God. God, he says, God is either a concept, it's something you hold as true in your mind, or God is the living God. God intends to be the living God in our lives. Why are we so weak as a church? It's a lack of encounter. We have not had such an event in our lives that everything changed, that the entire trajectory of our lives shifts. And the horizon of our life, like the backdrop against which I'm pursuing life, like what's the backdrop of my life? What am I pursuing? What am I going after? What am I looking for? What am I pursuing? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it in being in union with him and simply trying to do his will for my life and setting a direction? Am I seeking his face? Am I seeking his glory? Am I seeking his will? Am I seeking just to love him? Is that what life is about? That's what I want to write about. That's what I'm going to write about. I'm going to write books that are about fostering in Catholics this encounter with Jesus, but not just this encounter, right? How does this encounter happen? How do we have this? And what's holding us back from it? Right? What's holding us back from this encounter? How do we have that encounter with Jesus? And then how do we live life from that encounter? What should we expect in our lives as disciples? So with that as the backdrop, I'm going to pause there. And when we come back, I'm going to actually map it out in the form of books. And you'll understand better now, oh, why that book? Why that book? Why that book? As long as you get this part right. It's about helping Catholics have an encounter, an event with a person, Jesus Christ, to help all of us Catholics live life with a new horizon and a decisive direction. I'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. So in this program, I've been unfolding the fundamental insight that's driving me forward at this stage in my life. And the idea of writing books is all about helping to foster among the faithful this expectation, this search for, this anticipation of, this desire for an encounter with Jesus Christ that will be experienced as such an extraordinary event, an extraordinary breaking in, breaking open, breaking through to your life, that it empties out your life of the things that are most valuable to you. And all of a sudden, you have a new horizon. There's this new backdrop against which you are evaluating what your life is all about. And you have a decisive direction for how it is you are to live. That's my desire. My contention is, again, that many Catholics have had, let's call it glimpses. Yeah, I had a sense of God's presence. Yeah, I can remember when I went on a retreat, there was something special that happened. Or, wow, when this holy priest came and did this mission, or this event that, or I went to confession one time, and there was this, the reality of God became known to me, right? Those are beautiful things, but they're not encounters that fundamentally change the direction, the trajectory of our lives, and that give us a new horizon and a decisive direction that looks like what? It looks like I'm all in, that half measures are not what my life is going to be about, where my Catholic Christian faith becomes one thing among many things that are prominent in my life. Now, this happened to me by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, when I was 18 and a half. It was in the summer of 1983, and it was in the context of adoration, or not adoration, going out into a chapel where the Blessed Sacrament was reserved in a tabernacle at my parish, St. Malachy's Catholic Church, because my faith had been challenged. And I just want to say out loud, I mean, that was what made all the difference. That was what literally gave my life a new horizon and a decisive direction. It was that made me say, no longer am I interested in electrical engineering. I am passionately pursuing Jesus. I love you, Jesus, and I want you to be better known and loved in this world. I want Catholics to encounter you in the Eucharist, the way that I encountered you in the Eucharist. It was like a whole new light was shining. It was like a whole different sun in the sky. And that has been the platform on which I've continued to pursue the Lord. I think that that's like when you hear about people having this encounter with Jesus that changed everything, that's what we need in the Catholic Church. We need an encounter with the living Lord. So says Pope Benedict. Oh, by the way, so says John Paul II. Oh, so does Jesus in how he actually lived his ministry. So all of my books, and I'll talk more about them as time goes on, are all about helping fostering in you through prayer, through penance, through the life of the sacraments. How do we come into a more profound, intimate, personal, life-giving encounter with Jesus Christ? That's what I'm about at this stage in my life. God bless.